This DYM podcast is brought to you by the Orange Conference, a three-day conference in Atlanta, Georgia for your entire ministry team. Maximize your influence on the spiritual growth of the next generation as we explore this year's theme, what it means to be for our neighbors. Register today or learn more at theorangeconference.com.
This Download Youth Ministry podcast is brought to you by Generate Camp by YM360. Join us this summer as together we explore how the gospel transforms, revolutionizes, and fundamentally changes everything. Check out our week in Durango, Colorado, July 31st through August 4th with DYM's very own Josh Griffin by heading over to generatestudents.com today.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hey! Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Download Youth Ministry podcast, episode 303. Douglas Montgomery Fields here with co-founder of Download Youth Ministry, Josh Griffin, the queen of all podcasts, Katie, the junior high guru.
The queen of all podcasts.
Yeah, Edward.
All podcasts ever.
Including and the senior pastor, the supertone, you know him.
The supertones.
You know him, yeah. Jason.
Kind of.
Carson. We're in the 300s, kids, and I was in somewhere last week, Kansas City, somewhere. Somebody came up to me and said, I just want to let you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but Katie's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was a dude.
Do you mean favorite of, like, all of the different ladies that have been on the podcast, or period,
yeah.
of
no,
all people?
Well, I didn't.
It's hard to argue.
That would make you feel a little bit better. It was definitely, they were basically saying.
I mean, when, I'm your favorite too, right?
You are my
when
favorite.
Katie
Way
speaks,
more than these two yahoos.
When Katie speaks. People listen.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So it's just enough youth ministry so you don't feel guilty for listening to
work.
Thank you and so,
that.
I'm not guilty.
Yeah. No, Katie, that's because words are powerful.
They are.
Yeah. Words are powerful. And people love you. I love you. I'm glad you're doing this. This is great. And the Orange Conference loves you.
They are
our primary sponsor. Yeah. And I have just been told today that. Now, if you listen to the show, as maybe opposed to watch it, or is it both, Alice? Both.
Oh.
There's little sponsor jingles.
I love it.
So that we really don't have to talk about
jingles like they dance, have music.
We don't have to talk about YM360 and their Generate Camp and the fact that Josh is going to be speaking at it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Me
Colorado, join
rude
me.
Comments.
We don't have to say anything about like Leader Tracks, one of the greatest organizations for missions. No, we don't have to say anything now.
No, we don't have to talk about their mission trips or anything.
And we don't
have to
talk about Azusa because they don't exist anymore.
They're not our sponsor.
They shuttered its doors 2015.
Their sponsorship of our podcast.
They lost their academic. Excellence award.
Accreditation.
Their accreditation that we gave them, our accreditation of them.
This show in particular.
They're like, that's a great school. How do you know? I heard it on a podcast one time.
Yeah, exactly. I told them, I said, you guys made a major mistake. Watch
Wait,
your
are
tuition.
Are the jingles like songs about our sponsors?
I haven't heard the jingles. What are they? They're not jingles?
No.
They're still an image from each of the organizations.
A still image.
Oh.
Tell them to up their game a little bit.
We are becoming pretty darn professional.
Yeah, that's
kind
of fancy.
Speaking of
which. Judging from our set, if you're watching the show, we are pretty professional.
Fancy with the kid.
I think that's one of the things that we need to say is that this is happening in terms of we're in our new studio. It's just not official yet. We've got Josh and I were given a tour yesterday. There's going to be large screen TVs behind us, which means that we can Skype people in if we want to.
We should do a Super Bowl contest.
Katie
some
could
listener.
Be on one of her vacations, and we could just Skype her in.
Yeah.
Katie's basically always on vacation.
I vacation a lot.
No.
Doug, it looks like you started a new filing system. You are looking furiously for something.
Well, Fadi walked in a little bit earlier, and I kind of hid this one.
Okay.
Because this is an email from Trey Hatchcock.
Okay.
And
what's up, Trey?
Trey, see, if you're a rewinder, you know who Fadi is. It's my friend Fadi.
He's my friend, too.
He's not really as much as he's my friend. And Trey says, hey, team, I love DYM 100 and all the things I learned, plus the resources, food, special guests that you guys provided were above and beyond my expectations. It really was ministry changing. Fadi may never say this, but thank you for taking a loss in your business to build into youth workers in a profound way.
Yeah, he would not be happy with
that. No, so we did this DYM 100. People, you know, we've talked about it already.
Yeah, Katie spoke at it. We were all there. It was so fun.
It was one of my favorite things we've ever done. We lost money on it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But Fadi is our CFO. He's our volunteer CFO. Yeah. He's the one that has built this building. He invests a lot of money. He does scholarship. He does all these things. He's actually building and paying for the studio. Yeah. He doesn't listen to this show.
Oh, yeah. We said whatever we want about our My Friend.
Well,
Fadi.
Here's what I was thinking. Is Trey went on to talk about, you know, I'm excited that you're moving into the new studio. Before I was hired as a youth pastor, I worked for a video production company.
What?
I love watching the web show. It's gotten better since Elliot's doing it. But here are some suggestions. And then he gave a bunch of suggestions. But I
like
thought,
clean up the floor before.
Affirmation, then suggestion. Yeah.
Here's some affirmation, then.
No, I forwarded these on to the team. But I thought, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Why don't some of our regulars, who are rewinders, who are maybe even our DYM 100 people, let's write Fadi a thank you for the new studio.
That's nice.
Oh, I like that.
That's nice.
I like that
a lot.
Thank
you, Jason.
It's a nice touch.
Thank you.
Doug Fields.
Yep. Always thinking. Always thinking
so
of caring.
So here's the deal. Send it into podcast at downloadyouthministry.com and just put in the subject line, Fadi.
Okay.
And thank Fadi for the new studio.
What about
thank
sending
Fadi.
A tweet? Is Fadi on social media? Could we at Fadi Sheka?
Why don't you
look handwritten note is a lot more special, Josh. Than
He's on there. I just don't know how to spell his last name. You like handwritten notes instead?
It's always
okay.
Well, I just think it's a little bit more next level.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
it is.
Josh. Ask Katie Edwards, who appreciates her volunteers.
You know, you know, she should write a book on
There's
that.
The reason why she lasted and you didn't.
Sorry you got canned. Is that what I'm hearing? You know what? We're all in Katie's shadow. I learned that twice today already, so that's good. We're all...
Love it. Love it. So anyway, let's do that, huh? Send it into podcast
at
downloadyouthministry.com. We'll read a couple. Maybe we'll forward them all to Fadi.
Yep.
Maybe if he gets enough of them, he'll actually finish the studio.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I heard 2018, we're going to be in here. It's going to be sweet.
This is
episode
from
500 will be in our new studio. All
Jim
done.
Pertle. He says, Doug, hey, Josh, Jim. Jason, and Her Majesty the Queen. Thanks so much for DYM 100. Best
What was that accent?
Best leadership thing I've been to in 14 years of full-time youth ministry. That's pretty much what you said, Jason.
That's a nice thing to be said about you. You can't say that. Like this will be the greatest event in 14 years, but thank you, Jim. It's very nice.
I don't even think our next one, which we just decided yesterday in our staff meeting that we're going to do.
It's happening.
Thank you for saying yes to that.
Katie's already said yes.
And your submissions now at DYM.
But
just ask Fadi. He'll let you in.
But the second one can't live up to this.
That's the problem. The bar. Yeah. No. I wouldn't come to this one. Don't come to this DYM 100.
What did you think we did last time?
Well, you can always top.
That's true.
My Star Wars event for episode 8 will take it over the top of it.
Not a chance.
Yes,
not a chance.
Yes, it will.
I think it will too.
It will.
I thought it was okay.
Oh.
I would say wait for the third one.
No, nothing.
We got to wait until the third one because the second one, you're going to be like, we got this. And then it's not going to be as great. And then we're going to overcompensate on DYM 100 number 3. So just wait. Don't sign up.
Oh, my God.
Come to the third one.
Boo.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Or maybe it's reverse psychology.
Here's what he said. I'd be interested in round 2 for sure, but I'll let the others have first before I get my seconds as the camp cafeteria rule goes.
Very good.
So here's his question. How do you handle discipline issues in a big group setting when a few students are distracting the whole group? And there are some behaviors that deserve being called out from... are there some behaviors that deserve being called out from stage? Or do you avoid the public confrontation and just deal with these things one-on-one afterward? Do you ever suspend students from coming? Have you ever tasered a seventh grader? So, and he
legally,
says,
I don't think we can answer that question.
His background, they do a big weekly program on Wednesday night. It's a hybrid of having junior high and high school together. Then they separate. We do big group games. Shout out to DYM Kentucky for the games app. Steve. That's insider jokes from DYM 100. Worship together. And then we split into junior high and high school for the message, open gym or small groups games and small groups. So discipline. Let's talk about discipline.
Oh, I get it.
Talked about it before, but it's been a while, so let's bring it back.
Yeah. As a speaker on stage, the primary speaker in the youth ministry, I do not want to do correction from the stage, really at any cost. I just want to avoid it. So I want to train my volunteers that if there's a disruption of any kind, they jump on it immediately. So I'm not saying that you can't do that or it's not a best practice. I'm just saying for my style, I will go too far very quickly because I'm just snarky, sarcastic. When someone's disruptive, I could fillet them. And I think that is not a good spot for me to be in, especially in that primary communicator mode. If I'm a game host and I'm shutting somebody down, fun, great, no problem. If I'm teaching, man, I want my volunteers to instinctively, before it gets to anything out of control, they're on it.
Yeah, I remember I would deal with this all the time. I was always concerned with those few kids that would seem to poison the group. You know, you had something so great going, or those deep moments where you, everything you do in youth ministry to get to those deep moments where you see transformation happening in the room, and there's, you know, three kids in the back distracting 15 to 20 kids, right, and making and poisoning them and making them not listen and making them screw around. So I would always, you know, that's I remember being trained in that too. Like I would take those three kids out to lunch, you know, kind of a just
reward
me and those three guys, and just say, hey, listen, guys. Here's what, thanks. I saw that. So I'd say, hey, listen, guys, I really see a lot of potential in you. You guys are obviously, kids are looking to you, and you have one of two options. You can lead them this way or you can lead them this way. And I would show them like the power of influence that they have, and that they would, and I actually spelled it out to a few kids. I remember just like telling them, like, you guys realize you are literally pulling people away from God when you do this. Wow. So like getting a little tough on them. And that, you know, it takes a lot to get to that,
the door to that.
But to tell a kid, you know, hey, you're doing this. Do you want to be held accountable for that? Do you want to answer one day to God that you're like, that's what you did. That was your, or you want to like lead others to that place.
They're just weeping in the corner, fetal position.
But I'll tell you,
why he's a senior pastor.
Right. No, but if you look a kid in the eyes and give him that challenge, would you help me out? You know, I'm asking you, would you help me like lead others towards truth and towards, you know, righteousness? Like they usually respond to that in a good way.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
What would you do, Doug?
Well, I tend to make strong eye contact from stage.
Like preach at them?
Like give them
just look at them and keep going like, hey, I recognize your behavior. And now I'm hoping one of my volunteers was going to step in and recognize your behavior as well. Because sometimes, you know, I agree, Josh, you know, that is the go-to, train your volunteers to respond.
Yeah.
But sometimes a volunteer can be sitting right next to the kid and not even know it. They're engaged in the message and they're not seeing that. And so, you know, I make strong eye contact sometimes depending on what the stage situation is like. Yeah. I'll even walk out into the crowd, put my hand on their shoulder and just keep talking.
That's how you eventually discovered Matt McGill out of your youth group. You're like, come with me, my friend. Yeah.
But I do think, you know, and we mention this a lot, you know, you can't have discipleship unless you have discipline. So part of being a disciple is to have some sort of disciplines in your life. And so if we're going to disciple young people, we have to provide discipline. Discipline and love go hand in hand. You know, as a parent, we all know this. You can't love your kids if you don't discipline them, or you don't fully love them if you don't discipline. So I think having a theology or a philosophy of discipline is a good thing. And I just don't think you let one kid mess up the program for others.
Yeah, that's smart.
So, but to have one intentionally ahead of time, training your volunteers, knowing how you're going to respond, is much better than having a reactionary discipline.
It's good. Have you ever kicked anybody out of youth group or asked a student not to come back, at least for a little while?
Are different settings in our youth ministry. So in our church service, our gathering where our group comes together each week, I've never kicked a kid or told a kid not to come back to that setting.
Yeah.
Small group, I've asked a student to take a break for a couple of weeks when we were kind of trying everything and they just weren't kind of committing to what we were asking them to commit to.
Yep.
So I think as kind of spiritual commitments deepen, you can even you know, the ask gets a little bit higher and the bar is raised a little bit higher as far as what your expectations are. So in our small group setting, I felt like I could call mom and dad and say, this is what we're asking to commit to. And they're kind of not willing to do that. So let's take a break and then come back in a couple of weeks. So I think in that setting, I've asked kids to take a break. But
it's great.
Not in our larger group
Very setting. Wise.
But I think, I mean, I definitely love circling back with students that, you know, in our service, I don't necessarily go even as far as taking them out afterwards. Sometimes it's just a quick conversation of, hey, help me out. Like, I know you love being here and I want you here.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of in this time together. It's a little different in middle school ministry because there's always a little bit of squirreliness and kind of a healthy buzz in the room as far as like chatter and stuff. And so I think even as a leader determining what is okay. You know, sometimes you say something or you throw things out to them and they start talking and getting disruptive based on stuff that
you initiated said, that. Yeah.
You know? So even just as a leader, kind of, you know, figuring out your own temperature, you know, of what am I okay with in the room and what am I going to not let bother me because there's just some healthy chatter and stuff happening in the room.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing too.
Yeah. I am always been a arm around the shoulder. You know, I love you, right? Okay. You need to shut up.
You know, yeah.
You need to,
yeah.
You know, help me out if you need to, you know. I mean, we used to say, like, Katie, when you were in the high school group.
I was going to say, I think you did that to me when I was in high school. Did oh.
I doubt it.
I remember we were meeting out. We used to meet at a high school when I was in high school at the church, and we were out at the pool.
Yeah.
Was that when you first came to Saddleback?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had an arm around the shoulder moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but we became friends after that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I actually responded really well to that.
Yeah. And most kids do. And there are times where I've said, hey, look, if you don't want to be here during the message, you understand it's hard to sit and think, and you're welcome to leave.
Yeah.
You know,
but if you stay.
Yeah. But if you stay, you know, and so, I may have a little discipline moment with you, if that's okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
How are you doing with eye contact with Katie? Because I'm sitting up straight.
I can't see her at all.
I know.
You're blocking her completely.
Why don't you move to the side like you used to? I feel like we've lost our mojo a little bit with eye contact.
Katie.
But I have to be with these new mics and Elliot's incessant hammering of me. You should see all the texts
I get. It's
pretty
intense.
Like, man, if you, I work so hard.
How are
you
doing, Elliot?
Doing the sound.
Are we doing good?
You just talk into the mic. But I don't feel like, like sometimes when Kathy and I are at a table, she takes me and she like leans me back a little bit so she can make eye contact with the crowd.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just feeling a little sensitive between you and Katie.
Yeah. I can see
we've
Katie
had
right
a
there.
Few moments of eye contact. Yeah. We're okay.
Katie's fantastic.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of Elliot, how about that haircut, though, Doug?
No, Elliot's
dude,
looking,
seriously,
Elliot's looking good.
Wish we could have another camera.
Not
just
only
turn
that,
it on him.
We actually have some people in the audience today that are part of Katie's internship.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it.
Very cool people. The last show,
we've got Matt and Rachel.
Yes.
And you have an opening because you're letting go of one of them, aren't you?
Yeah, today. Survivor, Dude, intern edition, right? Voting on which one should be out right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be Matt.
I'm so...
Yeah, sorry, Matt.
They're
Matt,
so
it's been
wonderful.
A good run. Yeah.
No.
Well, as soon as we saw the man bun, I was like, ooh, I could go either way on Matt.
It's hip with the kids, though, these days, Josh. You've been out of youth ministry a while, I guess.
Totally.
Wow. Hip with the kids. All right.
The youths.
I'm just going to nod.
The youths. Yeah. No, they're both juniors in college, and they're awesome, and they're with us for a year. So
that's great. And if you're interested, how do they get a hold of you? Because seriously, if you should
intern. Send it into
email
the
show.
You know, when I don't want to get Katie's personal.
Yeah,
she didn't
email
even return
the show.
My emails anymore.
Yeah.
No, Katie, stop. That's not true.
That's not true.
Email the show because I'm looking for interns for next year who want to come out for a year.
I love that.
Awesome.
It's
almost like you should sponsor our show. Because you're giving these people an education, unlike Azusa Pacific.
You know what?
They don't exist.
What does it take to sponsor the show?
You're sponsoring the show, actually. Fadi, who just walked in the room, and we're talking about when this building's going to be finished. How many more?
Yeah.
Two more years. That's what Josh said.
I did not. I will deny that. It's not like
Josh was very snarky.
Like it's
not like we're recording.
Three of us
this.
Were like, man, Fadi gives so much to our
he
ministry.
Really does.
He's giving us, building us a studio.
Yeah.
He does scholarship
so
stuff
grateful
for
you.
Wow.
Wisdom. Didn't I say he's volunteer? What?
Yeah.
CFO.
He does it all.
Yeah. And we double his salary every year.
Fadi, can I wash your car?
And then
just give me the keys and I'll wash the car for you.
Josh whines a little bit about when the studio is going to be ready.
When
but
the
seriously,
screen's gonna, okay.
But seriously, when is it going to be ready? This is a question from Jason Keeler.
I like his name.
Hi, Jason.
Yeah, Niberville, MB.
Number.
It's pronounced Kaler.
New Brunswick.
Oh, Kaler.
Yeah.
Kaler. No, I've been a youth pastor for 9 years. I've been a DYM member for a number of years now, and absolutely over the moon excited with the resources I get from DYM. They have been invaluable to me. Over the moon excited.
Manitoba?
Yeah.
Where is he from?
Yeah, Manitoba.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So over the moon excited. Why don't you write that down, Katie, and talk to your interns about that?
About over the moon excited.
Yeah.
It's really not a young people phrase.
Over the moon.
Yeah. he says, for a bit of background, I attend a small church of about 100 people in Niverville, Manitoba, Canada.
Manitoba.
The amount of love and support I receive from the people is incredible, and it makes working in ministry so enjoyable because of their support. My question has to do with trying to change what I believe to be an outdated culture. As a small church, my yearly budget is quite minimal, and I try to be super vigilant with the funds entrusted to me. I can spend my budget quite freely with very few questions about how that money is spent, such as taking kids for lunch, sports equipment, video games, etc. But the moment I mention wanting to spend money on going to a conference, a youth retreat, a local youth conference, student leadership conference, people start freaking out and they come up with all kinds of ideas for fundraising for the conference. In my mind, the one thing that should be covered by the budget is the biblical teaching that our youth receive. How would you address people who feel that the youth should have to do some sort of fundraiser to get funds for the things like a weekend retreat, or in my case, in this upcoming year, wanting to attend student leadership in Indiana, which is the wisest thing Jason said.
Yeah. Studentleadershipconference.com. This question brought to you by SLC 2017.
You're such a good host.
Oh, that's what co-host. I do.
You're radio.
I work hard. I prepped this show.
Sorry, co-host. You're such a good co-host, partner host.
Well, and look where I sit. I know my place. That's like I sit on the side of the table.
That's like calling Rachel the junior high pastor.
Well, she's a really good youth pastor.
Hey, yeah, come on.
Rachel, you could.
Interns rule the world. That's a very good question. It's a very good question. I would say have them pay their own way the first time and get a culture started. If you're trying to change an outdated culture or mindset, find a way to get the kids there. And then when those stories come back, tell those stories well. Feel the momentum of it. Parents will see it. Families will see it. Hopefully the leadership pastors will see it and begin to take some baby steps. And so, you know, Student Leadership Conference, it is a good example because it is relatively inexpensive. It's relatively close to you. You're not going to break the bank on this trip. I would say find a way to get them there, even if you can't use your budgeted funds, and tell the story often and regularly. Make a case.
We don't use our budgeted funds to cover students' costs. We use our budgeted funds to cover the cost of our leaders. So we don't have a large enough budget to cover the cost of a camp or a retreat or even a leadership experience like this. But at the same time, I also think that it's okay to ask parents to invest in this too, or ask students to invest in their own spiritual journey. Yeah. So obviously maybe there's ways that we can supplement. Like I said, covering the cost of an adult volunteer who's coming, I think is really, could be really worthwhile in your youth budget. But I think it's okay to ask parents, hey, this is something that we're asking you to invest in on your students' behalf, you know, or have students contribute in that way. Mm-hmm. We've never done it any other way because we've never been able to afford to cover that cost. So, but I do think there's a partnership in the church partnering in maybe covering the leadership cost and parents covering their students' cost as in a dual investment type of a thing.
Yeah, dual investment, that's a good word.
Yeah, coming from a youth group who, my gosh, for about 5 or 6 years had zero budget. Like everything was like raise it all. A lot of times, even when we got a little bit of budget here and there, a lot of times what I would always do with my team and stuff is just like, hey, if we really wanted to go after something, you got to really present a case. You got to cast vision. I mean, the bigger question, the broader appeal for everybody listening, right, would be that Jason's asking is, how do you fight for a thing that's not a budget item that you really see vision for in your youth ministry? And so that's what I would say is how can you cast the vision? I mean, Josh, I love the idea of coming back with testimonials, but I think what Jason is asking before he takes a one-year stab at it, how can you do it before you even get testimonials? How can you cast vision of why this is important to you, why you think it will be valuable, what results you think it can produce in the end, and like type up something. I mean, I've seen guys come in with like 3-page, you know, Word documents on and bullet points on
on why something is going to be great and proposals for things. And my gosh, people respond to that a lot. So
yeah.
Well, and you may have to take a smaller group than you want to take.
Yes. Totally.
Because you may dream about, wouldn't it be great to take 20 kids to the student leadership conference, but only two can afford it. So take two.
Yeah.
And then you've got the stories of life change. I mean, we've found, like, with Mark Eads,
yeah,
you know, this guy who's junior high guy who's been bringing kids every year to student leadership. Yeah. Now the church is actually paying for it, or they're
subsidizing it in a significant way now.
Yeah, because they've seen the results of it. So it is that upward influence. I don't know of anything I hate more in church than fundraisers. Mm. I was trying to think. Lock-ins. I'd rather do a lock-in than a fundraiser.
I don't know. Those are probably equal for me. They're just both in the pits of hell.
It has the misguided, like, there is a, you know, the old people in the church are saying, well, if the kids really want to go, they'll work for it. Well, you know, here's the truth. They don't really want to go. They don't really want to go. And so, but we think it'd be great for them to go.
Yeah. Right.
And so what we want to make it easy is we want to provide them an opportunity where they can say yes to it. But, you know, if they've got to do lame car washes all day long, right, and that's about $8.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's just hard work.
That car wash too.
Yeah, I mean,
try a new location. Wow.
Well, it's like $8 per kid by the time you've done that. Car wash in Canada. I mean, yikes.
You could chip cars out of ice as a fundraiser in Canada. Manitoba. All right.
You know, I mean, think about
that'll be $8.
Like, we literally have no idea what we're talking about. Oh, you might a little bit. You lived in Michigan.
It's close. It's close to the
Michigan
cold.
Or Wisconsin? I always forget.
Yeah, I was born in Wisconsin, but then youth pastor for Michigan in 8 years. Yeah, that's okay. Michigan, lots of snow, lake effect snow, terrible life.
My niece and nephew live in Minnesota, speaking of car washes.
Speaking of chipping kids out of ice.
The ones that live in Minnesota are the ones I like.
Elliot.
That's Elliot, not a truth.
Elliot knows the truth. I was actually talking to my wife, which is his aunt, which is his dad's sister last week.
What is and twist?
Yeah, oh, it's not twist. And I just...
It's a murder mystery.
Elliot came up and I said, it's been so fun to just be around him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he lived in, where'd you live in?
Argentina? Texas. Same difference.
Texas. Yeah.
Texas, Argentina.
Manitoba.
Anyway, my least favorite nephews and nieces, what they do is, you know, they send these support letters out.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to write a check to them going on some type of thing that's going to impact their life. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I love it.
That's a
good word.
Different type of fundraiser. Here we go. This is from, well, let's just not use this person's name.
Okay.
It doesn't say
Josh
that.
Griffin.
All right. Sorry you got canned.
Says, is it normal to have a senior pastor who just doesn't seem to care about you?
Aww. Well, this is an easy answer. We want one word or make it more challenging?
You don't really see or talk to each other outside of staff meeting. By the way, to this person, outside is one word. You are more
Manitoba.
Like just coworkers, and you say hi in the office, but that's about it. The only time he comes to your office is because someone has complained to him about you. I've tried to get to know him and talk to him, but he just doesn't seem interested, and it's hard to keep a conversation going with. Well, one, I'm sad about that.
Yeah.
I'm be an intern with Katie, and then Jason, the senior pastor, will hire you away.
Totally.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You hope it's not the norm. You hope it's, I mean, obviously, that'd be an interesting poll, wouldn't it? How many youth pastors in America feel like they have a good relationship with the senior pastor? So that it would be a low number, wouldn't it?
Well, here is a little bit of a thought that I'm having with this guy is this would hurt me if it was just me and everybody else on the team had a great relationship.
Right.
Then you're kind of going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a little bit of my story. When I was at Mariners for 11 years, you know, I went there when I was 18 years old, right out of high school, was an intern, started, you know, I just 11 years. I became dear friends with the senior pastor, like dearest of friends. Did the wedding of all three of his children, his son. You know, Timmy Timmons was the ring boy in my wedding. He's now a famous, you know, Christian musician.
Nashville, CCM.
Anyway, we're just
like, I went, oh, it's great. Did life with each other. You know, I'd come back from a missions trip and, you know, he'd give me a hug and shake my hand and there'd be a $100 bill.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, I mean, it was just like, wow, this is youth ministry.
Jay, you should start doing that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just handing out $100 bills.
I'll
just
be your youth pastor.
Just to, just to support. And then I went to Saddleback, and my first year there, my relationship with Rick was not like that. And I'm like, maybe he doesn't like me. And I thought it was, I just thought it was me.
Yeah.
And then $100 bills.
No. That wasn't easy. There was, you know, he's very generous.
$1,000 bills?
No, not even a five. but what I realized is that the type of leaders that they were dramatically different. Mm. So when I left after 19 years, you know, he stood to the church and said, Doug Fields is one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I believe that 100%. But they, both of these senior leaders, had a different way of displaying friendship. And so one wasn't right, one wasn't wrong. Just when I came to Saddleback that first year was like, oh, I don't think he likes me. Well, the truth is he did like me. He liked me a lot. I became one of his key people. But he just expressed, he wasn't calling me on Friday saying, hey, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie came out. Let's go.
Let's go see it.
Which was happening like every Friday in the summer at Mariners.
Yeah.
But I was also helping him coach his son's little league team and that type. So there was just a different,
totally different,
you know,
dynamic,
different style. And, you know, that was a, that was a learning for me. Yeah. So it wasn't, had nothing to do with Rick. And they were just different. And so I struggled for that first year going, oh, maybe he doesn't like me. And then realized that, no, it's just a different style. Jason, you did a mentor me. Mm-hmm. On developing a relationship with your senior pastor, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. So
you want just people to listen to it, or you want to tell someone?
You want to download that off of downloadyouthministry.com.
Yeah.
You can hear all the answers.
Cha-ching.
So, I think, boy, understanding, I never knew, like being a senior pastor now, I was just telling someone this morning, like it's a weight that I never knew about. It's a I feel so much pressure from so many things that I never experienced before that sometimes I feel overwhelmed. I'm always feeling inadequate and insecure and like all these things. So it's tough, but like I never want to be that guy, but I've caught myself already a couple times being that guy. If something's taken care of, I'm like, oh great, I got other things to worry about.
I'm going to go on to the next thing.
Yeah, and go on to the next thing.
It's not on fire,
But then you think like, oh my gosh, the children's ministry is just crushing it right now. And I got to encourage them and I got to pour into them and show up at their house and say, hey, are you being cared for? Can I equip you in any way? Can I move you in a different, you know, help you in any direction you want to head? What are you dreaming about? What's your vision? All those important questions that I always operated in youth ministry as a youth leader with 40 leaders on my team. I would say that every week to my leaders. And now I find myself, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to them in 3 months. Like, yeah. I mean, I do, but you know what I mean about those things. And so I would just say, hey, youth pastors out there, cultivate that as much as you can, even if it feels like the senior pastor isn't paying attention to you or whatever, you know, how can you cultivate it? And so we would do things. I remember in the later part of my youth ministry, we would do things like pulling our team together during a leadership meeting or something and saying, hey, you know, it's October, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. Let's write a card thanking our senior pastor for leading our church. Let's do something special for him. Let's make a big sign that we can surprise him when he comes into work the next day in his office, you know, and all of us will sign the big sign and just things like that. And every time I train my leaders also that like, hey, if you ever see your senior pastor walking by, let's make sure we stop and say, hello, Pastor Mike, and how are you? And, you know, not just act like you're in your own little world, but give honor there. And so if you can cultivate that, it can help, I think. But just encouragement to that guy, you know, it's never too late to keep on.
Yeah, and that may be your role as a youth worker. Your role is to encourage them. Mm-hmm. And you may be in a position where you're working with a guy who's not going to give you what you need, mm-hmm. and you know, learn to develop the skills of encouraging. Yeah. Because Katie, words are powerful.
They're very powerful.
But you know, I'm one of the things I'm always doing with, you know, with
Tim and Rick, you know, the two senior pastors I worked for 30 years, was always building them up. So, you know, it's simple things like if I'm talking to Rick on the courtyard and I see somebody coming up to talk to him, I'll go, Tom and Marla Christian. You know, like I'll tell him the name to set him up to win. What, yeah. I mean, it's simple little things or like, hey, let me walk you to your car so you don't get, you know, grabbed by a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. There are always ways that you can serve your senior leader. So
that's great.
Anything else you want to add to that?
That's really good. I just like the idea of putting yourself in those shoes and going as best you can.
Yep.
And go, you don't know the pressure, the expectation. It's crazy. I mean, I do think in our hearts, we are like, we want to be loved and cared for too.
Yeah.
And we're trying to do that for our volunteers. And so I think have a conversation with your senior pastor too and say, hey, I would really value this, or even if it's just once a month, or like share a little bit of your heart and why you need that. And I think that would be respected too.
And grateful for the freedom sometimes. Cause if my senior pastor is engaging me all the time, it's probably because something's maybe, you know,
on fire or bad or broken, right? Yes.
That's
good.
So I think it's okay when there's stretches of freedom. You know, I always kind of view that as he trusts me and, you know, he's given me a mantle to carry. And so I appreciate that freedom. So, you know, what do you need and what can you also be grateful for in that freedom?
Yeah. Invisibility is a double-edged sword. Like totally. Invisibility hurts and stings. You're like, do I even matter? Does this, I'm working so hard. And the other side of invisibility is beautiful and wonderful and awesome. If you are off the radar. Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. But there are, I mean, you sit in a congregation and you hear the senior pastor sounding very shepherding and caring.
Yes.
And, you know, I love you. I'm be praying for you this week. And then you're sitting there going, okay, what about me? I work for you. And I'd like to be loved and cared for and prayed for. And so I understand that tension, but you just may find that, especially to this person who just specifically wrote in, if he's treating you different than he's treating everybody else, that's a little concerning. But if he's treating everybody the same way and he's just, that is his relational style, that's who you're working for.
There you go.
Yeah. I once sat under a pastor who always taught, you know, you shouldn't ever share the gospel with someone before you have them over to your house for dinner. Like that was kind of one of his big things. And I worked for him and he never had me over for dinner. So it's like, how do you preach that and not keep that going? That's tough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't get it.
Just no, now. I don't understand. He said, don't share the gospel.
He says, instead of
before
just,
before you do it.
Yeah. But you should have people in your home before you like go and think you can just share the gospel with them.
Okay.
But
he never invited you.
But I never, yeah.
Well, you're and already a Christian. And,
well, hey, but who are we to
I
judge
need the gospel
that he's a Christian?
Too, Doug. Yeah. No, I mean,
actually know that.
It even became an issue where I brought it up a couple times. Hey, you know, you said this. And like, so I feel that guy's pain.
Yeah.
Because I said, hey, you said this, and it still never happened.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? So now that's one of the things like for Encounter Church for Julie and I. That's like part of our new family purpose statement is to have people over for tacos. And just like if they're new to our church, that's almost the newcomers class is, hey, come on over for tacos.
Yep. That's great.
But then we can't forget also while we're doing all that to all these newcomers to take care of our team that is around all the time and serving and working their butts off for us.
You know, one of the things about being a leader is leaders have to learn how they're going to lead. So you got to learn your own leadership DNA. And so if you're in an environment and you're working with somebody who's not the type of leader that you thrive under, then you become that type of leader.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, I've learned from great leaders and I've learned from bad leaders that, bad leaders go.
What not to do.
Yeah. I don't want people to feel that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good.
Solid.
It's good. All right, you guys, 302?
302?
In the
can. Done.
Went a little bit longer than we've been told to go. 303? Well, 302 is already in the can, right? Elliot, it's already up on the site.
Wake up. Yeah, wake up, Elliot. Hold on.
What's happening?
You've sent it to Josh.
Elliot's pretty excited because he's sitting next to Rachel, the intern who's back.
And he's got his new hair.
He's a little off his game today. He's under a little extra pressure.
I don't think so.
He's looking good, though.
He's looking good.
How many ladies do you fend off a week?
Stop like, for relationship? Them.
Three a week. I was thinking it was higher. I was thinking it was higher, but that's great, Elliot.
That's good.
Yeah. Elliot,
that's good.
I love it.
Elliot is also
he's an
extraordinary
a chick
junior high.
That's true.
volunteer.
Yeah.
Who is
intern for Katie.
The pastor's son. I just heard this the other day. The pastor's son is in your life group.
Pressure. Mm-hmm. Pressure.
We should have a whole show on that.
And so the pastor's son, that family, the pastor's family is very close to our family. And so he was telling his mom, we're kind of like related to the Fields.
That's so cool. Wow. Good
job, Elliot. Anyway, all right, everybody. You're the best. Send your questions into podcast at downloadyouthministry.com. Thankful for Orange. We'll see you at the Orange Conference, YM360, and our dear, dear friends, Leader Trek. So grateful for your support.
Yes.
And we will talk to you all at show 304.
Let's do it.
What do you think?
Excellente.
All right, let's record that one now.
Woo!
I'm going to change my hair.
This DYM podcast is brought to you by Leader Trex. Go to serve, return ready to lead. On a Leader Trex mission trip, you'll serve and get out of your comfort zone. And through the program, your students will learn how to lead. They will bring that leadership and confidence back to your youth ministry, and it will make a difference for the rest of the year. Learn more and sign up at leadertrex.org. And since we love DYM, listeners always get 10% off resources by using the code DYM10 at leadertrex.org. That's DYM10 at leadertrex.org.
This DYM podcast was brought to you by the Orange Conference, reminding you that what you and your team do every week matters. To grow and connect as a team, join us at this year's Orange Conference. Register or learn more at theorangeconference.com.